It starts innocently enough. A guy walking down a steep sidewalk waves to another man having a garage sale. He stumbles forward, crashes into one of the tables of wares, and begins rolling down the street. But instead of slowing down, the man and objects start to pick up speed. He crashes into garbage cans and a couple getting out of a car, and the three of them, along with all the stuff, form into a big mass. As that mass tumbles down the street, it keeps getting bigger. It collects another guy, more boxes and trash cans, several motorbikes, construction debris, streetlights, and an SUV. It rolls through a park picking up a wedding party and back into the city streets, past coffee shop patrons, and amassing everything in its path until finally, it crashes into a large building, scattering its components across the cityscape. People stumble to their feet from the wreckage with bewildered looks on their faces, and the man who tripped gives an embarrassed wave and keeps walking.
The name of this award-winning ad for Travelers Insurance is Snowball, and creative director Carrie Feuerman's concept was inspired by what's known as the Snowball Effect, a process that starts from an initial state of small significance and builds upon itself, becoming larger, potentially dangerous, or quite beneficial instead. What's interesting about these types of scenarios is not so much how they end up, but how they begin. How one decision, one action, as insignificant as waving to a neighbor or getting up off the couch, can have such an impact on the future. How can we know when these moments in time are going to present themselves? How can we be prepared? To what extent have these moments formed what we know as our everyday existence? Is life the result of one big snowball? This is Breaking the Grid, the podcast. I'm Mark Davidson. Today on Breaking the Grid, the story of a person who can pinpoint a major shift in her life to something that, at the time, seemed utterly random and small. Part 1, The Postcard. So why don't you start by introducing yourself?
But you didn't tell me you were going to do that.
Well, I should probably clarify, I'm sitting here with Susan Muller, who is an English teacher at Springfield High School.
Did the person who explained the sentences to you make it worse or better?
Worse.
Okay, let's clarify.
And for several years before this school year was my department chair and a colleague of mine, someone that I worked with very closely. We both teach senior English. I often find myself walking into a room to release stress, to
hear a story.
And speaking of stories, we're going to get to Susan's. And she has a story about the snowball effect and how it has made a difference in her life. So where was the starting point? Where can you pinpoint this big event to something that was maybe not real meaningful or significant?
I'm going to go all the way back to 1977. I am in college. I'm a sophomore. I'm walking through the tunnels down a long, long cinder block hallway. And at the end is a little poster with a beautiful mountain on it and a blue sky. And it says, "Want to study in Switzerland? Take one." And randomly, I grabbed one. That looked good. I filled out the little card and I tossed it in the mail and probably forgot about it.
Let's go back for a second. You said something about the tunnels. Could you explain what that means?
I went to a very old college where tunnels actually connected the dorms
underground.
To each other. Underground tunnels. They're not open anymore. I think they consider it a security hazard now, but in 1977, we could do a lot of things. So it's a little postcard. It goes off, and I called my dad, and I said, "Hey, Dad, I'm thinking about I want to study in Switzerland." And he said, "Well, that's a dumb idea." At 19, when my dad said it was a dumb idea, traditionally I didn't go any further. I have a very strong personalityed father who chose even the college that I went to. And so to that point, when he said something was stupid, I didn't do it. But so I just kind of left it at that. I said, well, I put in an application. And he said, well, you can do what you want.
So how much time was there between filling out that piece of paper and actually going on the trip?
It wound up being only about 2 months. And in that 2 months' time, I received an acceptance letter. And so I called my dad and said, Dad, I've been accepted. He said, to what? I said, to Franklin College in Lugano, Switzerland. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, but you do. We talked about this. And he said, well, I think it's a dumb idea. And I said, I know, but you said I could go if I wanted to, and I want to. And he said, well, I'm not going to pay for it. That was probably his trump card.
Thinking that would be the end of it.
Right. And to date, it would have been. This time I said, well, Dad, I really want to go, and I can pay for it. What he didn't know was that I had babysat for every kid east of the Mississippi, wiped every butt east of the Mississippi, and at 50 cents an hour, I had saved every penny, and I had enough money to study in Switzerland, to pay the tuition and everything. That was sort of a point of departure for me, kind of a rite of passage where I didn't do what my parents said. Not that I never did anything like that before, but that whole major decision. So it's already having an impact, and I literally just pulled that postcard off the poster and sent it in, not thinking deeply about what this might be or mean or ever that it would go so fast. I have a passport, I'm in Detroit, and my mother is crying in the airport, which I didn't expect. And so I went from there to Frankfurt and on to Zurich and then to a train. And I'm alone, I'm 19, and away I went.
Was there any time at the beginning of the trip maybe that you felt like you were in over your head?
It was an international school, so I didn't have to speak a language, but I had studied French, so I thought, I'll speak French there. Well, I took some books on the plane with me to start to do my research about what I'd gotten myself into on the plane instead of prior to the whole thing, and I found out that I was going to the Ticino, in which they only speak Italian. I mean, they speak everything, but they speak Italian, and it turns out that culturally it was snobby to speak French there.
Did you experience that firsthand? Did you try to speak French to someone and, like, you learned a lesson the hard way?
I learned a lot of lessons the hard way. The whole thing was very difficult. It was good, but it was difficult and a lot of tears because I couldn't communicate with people. And I would leave groceries at the checkout because they tried to talk to me about the money and the groceries and I couldn't follow. In Italian, the butcher wanted me to speak German. The checkout people wanted me to speak Italian. My banker did make me speak Italian, and I would leave frustrated because I couldn't take out the money I wanted to because I couldn't say it right, or I'd say it right and he'd answer me and I couldn't answer back.
Traveling overseas at such a young age seems like, you know, kind of a life-changing experience in itself. What came about from this trip that maybe was unexpected?
So many things were unexpected. At the time of departure, I was pretty heartbroken after a 3-year relationship breakup. It was a distance, and that was freeing. I didn't do it to get that distance, but that was good. I bought a Eurail pass. I could hop on any train, anytime, go anywhere. So that was very freeing. If I got into trouble, I could always get back on the train and go back.
What do you mean, if you got into trouble?
I think you want me to say some trouble I got in. Well, there were scary events. I mean, I was alone. I didn't know anybody. men would approach me, say the few American curse words they knew just because it's all they knew, and they thought they were engaging me, and of course they weren't. But I could just get on a train and get out of Dodge. Courses I took were mind-blowing.
In what way?
I took an art history class that I'll never ever forget, and our field trips were to the art. So we went to Florence, we went to Rome, we went to Venice, we went and looked at the art we were talking about with a man who could tell us all the stories. That has stayed with me forever. I learned so much about the art.
Can you tell us about a particular painting or piece of art that you remember very vividly?
Probably the one that struck me the most is, it's called The Slaves, and it looks unfinished. It looks like rough stone, and the slaves are actually, all you see is parts of their bodies trying to escape the stone, and it's like the sculptor is releasing them. At a glance, you probably wouldn't think much of it, and I remember thinking that I just had such an appreciation. That has stayed with me. And the independence that it took, that I had to pull out of myself to travel around alone like that and make my way, has stayed with me. My daughter's in Madrid today. She's been to Costa Rica. She's been to the Mojave Desert. She's been to Greece. And she's a little wallflower, but I'm hoping she learned some of that wanderlust from her mother that really started way back then.
So after you'd been in Switzerland for a period of time, did you feel like you became a different person there? Did you feel different on the inside?
I do. I think I became fearless about things. I'm not comparing myself with Maya Angelou, but in her story, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, she says that she had a teacher who said one day, she pointed to the map and she said that their little town was one little town in one little county in one little state. And she goes on to point out that things are done differently elsewhere. And this trip really taught that to me. I don't know, I think I felt like a citizen of the world because I met people from all over the world, and it was good.
All from one little poster?
All from a little, you know, where it says take one, those little pieces of paper. I took one, and I think it changed everything for me.
You've been listening to Breaking the Grid, the podcast. That's our show. Thanks to Susan Muller for sharing her story. Music for today's podcast comes from Poddington Bear. Next time on the show.
And I'm like, wow, this guy is so cheesy. But I don't know what it was about it, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to give him a chance. And I followed my heart.
Thanks for listening.